Welcome to the Movement Church in Orange County, California. We believe that today's message will inspire you, challenge you, and raise your faith that God is up to something big in your life. Let's jump into today's message.
Hey, we are diving in today to a brand new series, and it's called Under Pressure. Somebody say, Under Pressure. Hey, we all know what it's like to be under pressure, don't we? It's different for probably all of us. Every story represented in the room, it might look a little bit different. We've got the self-inflicted pressure that we do to ourselves, the trying to keep up with the Joneses kind of pressure, financially and our current status of life. We've got that pressure that we put on ourselves to keep up with the people around us. Sometimes it's pressure of meeting other people's expectations. Sometimes it's the pressure of a massive project, or for all of my teenagers in the room, a big test that's coming up. We all know what it's like to experience pressure. Maybe for some of you, you are juggling school and work. And for others of you, you're juggling school, work, and family. You're like, I'll one up you on the school and work. We know what it's like to experience pressure. Maybe it's pressure of new responsibilities at work. Maybe it's pressure of conflict in a relationship that you have right now. Maybe it's the pressure of raising a child who's just making decisions that are just contrary to what you want for them, and you're aching on the inside, like, how do I change this situation? And you feel the heaviness of the pressure. And here's what I want to tell you today is that pressure in and of itself is not bad. Pressure in and of itself is not bad. In fact, pressure can produce some great things. Pressure produces babies, and every mother in the room who has had a child can say amen. And pressure produces diamonds. Pressure doesn't have to be a problem, but it's how we respond to it that is. You see, more often than not, I think when we feel pressure, we respond out of stress. Can anybody relate? We respond out of stress, and we tend to look at the pressure that we're feeling or the problems that we're facing with a negative lens. But I just want to shift that perspective a little bit for us today. You know, my husband, Pastor Kerry, he's not here today, by the way. He's in Salt Lake City with our daughter at a volleyball tournament, and so he sends you his love. So I get to talk about him and brag on him for a moment. You know, he's an incredible pastor, but I know that when he's up here preaching, you guys have noticed the biceps. Like, you've seen it. They're popping out of his shirt when he is up here preaching. And the reason is because Pastor Kerry has set up a gym in our garage. And I'm telling you, we have everything that you need to work out. Come on over. We'll hang out together and lift some weights. But I decided that I wanted to learn what it was like to lift some weights. I want to get stronger, right? And so my husband is helping me. And I've been learning how to lay on the bench and do some bench presses with the bar and add some weights to the bar. And for a little while, I felt like I was really getting it down. And Pastor Kerry said, we're going to add some weight today. And I was like, excuse me? I'm doing good here. I'm knocking these out. And he was like, we're going to add some weight. And he proceeded to put some more weight onto the bar. And I lifted the bar with his help, and I brought it down to push it up, and I was like, oh! There was some pressure. It was heavier than I thought that I could handle. But he wasn't adding the weight to cause me to struggle. The weight was added to push me to my potential, to help me grow in strength. You see, I want us to begin to look at pressure and at problems as opportunities and to change the way that we respond. See, God has things prepared for you that you are not prepared for. God has things prepared for you that you are not prepared for, and God uses circumstances to prepare you for what He has prepared for you. So we're going to be talking through this series, Under Pressure, about some tests. And I'm pulling a lot of this from a book that I would encourage you to read. If you're a reader, this is for you. If you're not a reader, this is for you. And they're going to put it up on the screen. This is by one of our pastors. His name is Pastor Kevin Gerald. He's out in Seattle area. And he wrote a book called The Proving Ground. And I'm going to talk to you a little bit about The Proving Ground. And through this series, we're going to explore it. And I just want to encourage you, if you're really looking to grow, order this book. Get it, go through it with us, because I think it's going to really help you. We're going to talk all about the promises of God, and we do this a lot in church, right? We talk about the promises that God has for us, and He has lots of promises for us. We don't always talk about the process that God uses to prepare us for the promise, and that's what we're going to do in this series. So let me pray for us. Jesus, I thank you for what you're doing here. God, I thank you that you're up to something big. God, I thank you for every person who's here in the room, who's tuned in online, who's sitting in our family room right now. And I know that this message is for all of us. So God, would you give us ears to hear? God, would you prepare our hearts for the areas that you want to challenge us in and help us to grow in? God, we want to understand that the added weight that we might be dealing with is not for our struggle, but it's for our growth and our potential. So give us eyes to see. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, amen. Amen. So we're going to talk about pressure. We're going to talk about problems, and we all have them. And it's an opportunity to prepare you. I truly do believe it's an opportunity to prepare you for your potential. You know, there's so many of us in this room and tuned in online, and we're going through some tests. But the problem is we don't often realize that it is a test. And the test isn't sent to fail you. The test is sent to promote you. You know, I have a 15-year-old daughter, and she and her best friend, who happens to be in the room right now, they both turned 15 about the same time, so they have just been talking about getting their driver's license. They cannot wait to get their driver's license. So Jessica has already started studying what she needs to study to get her permit. Avery is coming up behind her, but they are preparing, right? Because at 15 and a half, they are going to go in, and they're going to take a test to get their permit, and then they're going to begin to do some driving time, and they're going to begin to prepare for the driver's test. And we all think this is a good thing, because none of us want my daughter Avery or her friend Jessica driving on the road with us if they haven't taken their driver's test, because we want them to know what they're doing when they get behind the wheel. They are being prepared for what is prepared for them. And the same thing is the tests that you and I walk through in life. Some of the pressures that we face and the problems that we encounter, God is preparing us for what He has prepared for us. James 1, 2 through 4, a really challenging scripture, but one you need to know, says this: "Count it all joy, my brothers, when you face trials of many kinds. For you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness." Other versions say perseverance. "And let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing." It says count it joy when you face trials, because the testing, there's a test that's involved in the middle of the trials. The testing of your faith is producing perseverance. I saw this quote on Instagram the other day, and it said, "A river cuts through rock not because of its power, but because of its persistence." There's something about that perseverance in the midst of trouble, under pressure. There's something about it. Your life is full of opportunities. You might call them pressure or problems, but I just want to give us a different way of looking at it. It's a proving ground. See, when you begin to look at your life this way, you actually change your perspective on pressure. Have you ever ridden the Toy Story ride in Disneyland? Anybody? Okay, a couple of you. Basically, you get to the Toy Story ride, and they give you these little paper 3D glasses. But if you're one of those people that doesn't feel cool in the glasses and you don't want to put the glasses on, you're going to go into that ride, and you're just not going to see things the way that you should. You're going to be like, what is so cool about this ride that we're on? But if you put on the glasses and you change your perspective, all of these things are coming out at you, and you're shooting them, and you're scoring points, and it's amazing. It's a moment, right? But you need the glasses. You need a different perspective to be able to see what's right in front of you. So proving grounds, understanding that we are walking through tests and proving grounds, is a different way of looking at our problems and our pressure. All of us are probably experiencing some kind of a test in our life right now. And it's a proving ground for where our determination, our commitment, our attitude, and our faith are tested. And if you only see it as a problem, you're going to miss an opportunity. You know, maybe for you, it's you're working for someone who's really difficult to work for. This is not anyone on the Movement Church staff. It never would be. But maybe for you, you're working for someone who is really difficult to work for, and there's conflict, and there's strife, and there's indifference, and in your mind, you're like, this is just a difficult person. And you might be praying, God, please move them on. Move them out of my life. Get me out of here. God, change this situation. I cannot handle this kind of pressure. But perhaps God's looking at you going, I'm not going to move them. I'm looking at you. I'm going to watch how you handle yourself when the pressure's on. I'm going to watch how you respond to the conflict and the strife. Oh, and the other people in your office, they don't like them either. And I'm going to watch how they're talking about your boss and if you're joining in on the criticism and the hate. I'm watching you, your response to the pressure. This is a test. It's a test. Maybe it's you've been offended by somebody. You've been really hurt, and you feel justified in your anger and your frustration, and you don't know how you're going to respond, but it's a test. It's not just a problem. It's an opportunity. Are you going to allow that feeling of being offended to lead you into living a life full of offense? How are you going to respond? Are you going to walk away from the relationship, or are you going to be open and teachable? Are you going to go, what's something I need to learn from this situation? See, the problem is an opportunity. And in this series, we're going to talk all about the different kinds of tests that we face. So I asked them to throw this up on the screen so that you can get a little preview of some of the tests that we're going to talk through. So we're going to talk about the test of small things. Can you handle more? We're going to talk about the motivation test. Are you doing the right thing for the right reason? The credibility test. Can others count on you with opportunity? The wilderness test. Are you ready to make the changes that progress actually is going to require of you? The authority test. Do you respect and appreciate the authority that God has placed in your life? The warfare test. What is your adversity quotient? The offense test. Are you going to let circumstances of life offend you? And the test of time. Do you get better or bitter with time? We're going to talk about the lordship test. Do you accept that God's way is always right? So these are the different tests that we're going to unpack in this series. And I'm just encouraging, don't miss a week. Invite your friends to be here. Because all of us are facing pressure, all of us are facing problems, and it's an opportunity for what God wants to do in our life. I truly believe that. But for the next little bit that we have together, I want to talk to you about two of those tests. So I would encourage you, take notes. If you have the Movement Church app, we've made it really easy for you. We've put our notes in there already. There's some fill in the blanks. You can follow along. If not, pull out that notepad on that beautiful, expensive device that you have and take some notes. Note takers are history makers. Write things down. It will help you to remember it. But today I want to talk about the test of small things. The test of small things. Can you handle more? I'm talking to you, not your spouse, not your neighbor. Can you handle more? Luke 16, verse 10 says, "Whoever can be trusted with very little can also be trusted with much. And whoever is dishonest with very little will be dishonest with much." One of the tests that all of us are going to face over and over again is the test of small things. How do we steward what we have right now? So if the pressure that you're feeling right now today is maybe feeling stuck in a job, feeling stuck in your finances, feeling stuck relationally, a good question to ask yourself is, am I giving my very best to what I have? Am I honoring God's principles with my life? I just want to encourage you, if you're here right now and you want to have a better job, how are you stewarding the job that you have right now? Are you showing up on time? Are you giving your best to everything that you're entrusted with? Are you honoring the people that God's placed in authority in your life? How are you stewarding the moment right now? Are you doing the bare minimum and then complaining about why you don't like this position that you're in right now? Or are you looking for ways to go above and beyond and make the position you're in even better than where you started? It's a test of small things. You think you're feeling pressure because you don't like where you're at, but God's saying, can I trust you with where you're at? Can I trust you for the more that I have for you? Can I trust you? Maybe some of you have been in a moment and an experience where your employer has seen some potential in you. Like, there's something inside of you, and I see it, and I just want to give you something that's a little bit more than what you're doing. I want to give you this project to focus on. And they've invested in you and put some trust in you, and you've been handed something that's not necessarily in your job description, and you are feeling the pressure because it's a new kind of weight that you need to produce. And you're feeling the pressure of your time because this is not just the normal job that you have. This is like something new and added to it. And you're trying to steward your family, and you're trying to steward your marriage, maybe, and you're trying to take care of what's in your hands, and this new thing's been added. And my question is, can you steward that well? It's like adding weights to the bar. Like, can you do it? Because the weight that's being added, the weight and the pressure that you feel is not necessarily a problem. It's an opportunity to reevaluate where I'm at and to make sure I'm stewarding my time well so that I can do the thing that I've been entrusted to do. You know, Jesus, he told the parable of the talents, and many of you might be familiar with it. It's in the book of Matthew. But he basically, Jesus taught in stories, right? And Jesus taught a story about a master who was going away. And he had these three servants. And before he left, he said, I'm going to trust you with something. And the Bible says that he gave them a talent, which is basically a form of money at that time. And he gives this to them. And to one of them, he gives five talents. To another, he gives two. And to another, he gives one. Now, already some of you are like, well, that's not fair. It's not equal. And I just got to tell you, our culture right now is trying to say that everything should be equal and everything should be fair, but that's not kingdom principle. That's not how it works. Jesus taught this principle, saying he gave to each of these individuals what they were capable of handling in that moment. To one, he gave five, to another two, and to another one. The master goes on the trip, and the one who had five talents went out and he multiplied it and made it into 10. The one who had two went out and multiplied it and made it into four. But the one who had one was like, I don't really know what to do with this thing. I don't actually know how he was. It was either like, I don't know what to do with this, and just paralysis of analysis didn't do anything. Or maybe it was just like, I'll just bury it in the ground. When he comes back, I'll hand it to him. But Jesus tells the story that the master returns, and the one who had five, who now has 10, returns it to his master, and the master says, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been entrusted with little, and now you can be entrusted with much. The one who had two and turned it into four, well done, good and faithful servant. You were entrusted with little, and now you can be entrusted with much. And the one who had one just pulls it out and is like, well, I'm returning to you what you gave me. He's like, no, you missed the point. And I'm just here to tell you, every single one of us is going to face tests of small things. What are you doing with what's been entrusted to you? Are you lazy? Are you scared? Are you crumbling under pressure and just burying that one thing in the ground, saying, well, I'll just take care of the one thing and that's as good as it gets? Are you willing to take that one thing and say, God, I will give this everything I have. I will give it my best because it's for your glory. We're all facing tests of small things. You know, in the Bible, there's a man named David. Many of you are familiar with David. If you've been in church, you've heard stories about David, or maybe you've just heard stories of the great King David who ruled the nation of Israel. Maybe you've heard stories that he was a man after God's own heart. I know that you've probably heard stories of David and Goliath and how he defeated a giant. But the beautiful story about David is David walked through the test of small things. When David was a young man in his father's house, he was like one of the little brothers. He was assigned jobs that nobody else wanted to do. He was responsible for caring for the sheep. And sheep are smelly animals. They're stupid animals. I know you think they're cute because we see all the little Instagram reels and we're like, oh my gosh, I want one. They're like, I know, it's like a fluffy cow. I would like a fluffy cow. Coming back to the message right now. But David's entrusted with the sheep. He's spending time all by himself, all day, out watching these smelly, stupid animals. and he's taking care of him. And he could have been like, why can't one of the other brothers do this? I don't like this job. I want to do something different. But no, David just did the best with what he had. And while he was out there, he taught himself how to play instruments, how to worship God in the midst of just feeling isolated and alone and feeling like he was unnoticed. And I just feel prophetically, some of you feel like you're unnoticed in the position that you're in right now. You feel like nobody sees me and I'm just tired of this place where I'm at. And I'm just here to tell you, David could relate with you. He had these moments, but he taught himself to worship God. He also taught himself how to fight off the enemy because he had to protect those sheep. So he fought lions and bears with a simple slingshot, and he learned how to take out the enemy that were coming after the sheep. And because of his faithfulness in small things, God was able to trust him with some big things. He was the one that went out to face Goliath, the enemy of Israel, and he took him out with a stone and a slingshot. He was the one who, when Saul, the king at the time, was tormented by evil spirits, he called on David, who had learned how to play the harp and learned how to worship God. He called on David to come and to worship because it brought him peace. So all of these little things that he was doing along the journey were preparing him for the promise. He was prepared to shepherd the people of Israel because he'd learned how to shepherd the sheep. Are you faithful in the small things? Ephesians 5, 15 through 16 says, be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity. Making the most of every opportunity. You know, Thomas Edison is known for a famous quote, and it says, opportunity is missed by most people because it's dressed in overalls and it looks like work. And I'm just going to kind of add to Thomas Edison's words right now. Opportunity is missed by most people because it's dressed in overalls, it looks like work, and it feels like pressure. Are there any areas of your life right now where you're feeling pressure and it might be a test of small things? You know, it's really important to have an accurate self-analysis if we want to produce increase in our life. So let me give you a couple tips to help you pass the test of small things. I would encourage you to write this down. Number one, see problems as opportunities. Determine what you can do and roll your sleeves up. At the Movement Church, we've always talked about being solutions driven. Don't bring me your problem, bring me your solution. And my little girl, when she was like 8 years old, she came to me one day with this idea for something we were supposed to do. And she said, Mom, I know. You don't want me to bring a problem, you want me to bring a solution. And I was like, man, you are listening and you are learning well. Hey, see, problems as opportunities. Roll up your sleeves. What can I do in this situation where I'm at? Number two, treat small opportunities as if they are your doorway to greater ones. Number three, show motivation in the small things of your everyday life. Number four, make no excuses. You know, there's a disease called excusitis. You don't want it. It's not going to help you get where you're going. Don't give less than your best. Don't make excuses. Don't give less than your best. If you are under pressure right now, it's like me lifting those weights. Pastor Carrie is like, Megan, you can do it. You can do it. And I'm going to be right there with you, helping you lift it. And God's like, hey, friend, if you're facing it right now, you can do it. Why? Because he's with you. You're not facing the pressure or the problems that you're facing alone. You know, God loves us for free. And that's a beautiful gift of the grace of God that is available for all who believe. God loves you. You need to know that. There's nothing you can do to earn his love. You cannot. He loves you for free. But the rewards that we receive both here and in eternity are based on what we do with what we have. Sometimes that's challenging to receive. God's love is unconditional. There's nothing you can do to earn it. But the promises of God that he has for your life are based with what we do with what we have. Are you being faithful in the small things? I'm not going to linger here, but I just want to share with you the second test, the motivation test. Are you doing the right thing for the right reason? Are you doing the right thing for the right reason? This is a test that you will always face when you're doing the right thing. And it's going to test the why behind what you're doing. You know, Jesus, when he walked the earth, he healed a lot of people. Many of you know the story. He was just performing miracle after miracle, and people were being healed and their lives transformed. But Jesus wasn't here to get fame and accolade for that moment. He had his eyes fixed on something different. In fact, so many times when he healed people, he'd say, "Don't tell anybody about this." Why? Because his motivation wasn't to draw all this attention to himself. His motivation was the cross and the resurrection, because his motivation was hope for all of humanity. It wasn't about that moment of healing someone. The healing was more about the person than it was about Jesus. It was more about his love and compassion and care for the person. You know, any kind of lasting motivation comes from the heart. All of us can be temporarily motivated by people and circumstances. We all can. But permanent, enduring motivation can only come from the heart. It's the status of our heart that will determine the outcome of our life. That's why Proverbs 4:23 says, "Above all else, guard your heart, because it's the wellspring of life. It's what's in your heart that matters." We did a whole series called Thirsty at the beginning of this year. If you missed it, you can go back and listen. There's a message called It's All About the Heart. And it really will emphasize some of what I'm saying to you today. It's all about the heart. God's always looking for opportunities for us to check our hearts. And Samuel, the book of Samuel, chapter 16, Samuel the prophet is going to anoint the next king of Israel, and he stands in front of Jesse and all of his sons, whom David was one of, and he starts looking at all of them, and some of them just looked like they were super qualified to be king. He wasn't even looking at David, and God said to him, "Hey, I don't look at what man looks at. I'm looking at the heart." So the real test of motivation, why you're doing what you're doing, is taking a moment to evaluate your heart. What's in our heart is our harvest. And a great revealer of what's in your heart, a great revealer of what's in your heart is two things. One, how you spend your money. The Bible says where your treasure is, there your heart will be. And I'm not going to linger there today, but that's a test of what's in your heart. And another test is your words. Out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. How do you talk about yourself, about the situations you're facing? What are the words you're using to describe some of the pressure that you're under right now? It will be a great indicator of what's going on inside of your heart. And one way to pass the motivation test, one way to recognize that you're in it, actually, is to recognize if you're feeling pressure right now. If you're feeling pressure right now and you want to quit something that you know you're supposed to be doing, you're facing a motivation test. If the pressure that you're feeling right now is wanting to quit something that you're supposed to be doing, you're facing a motivation test. And the way to pass the motivation test, are you ready for this? The way to pass the motivation test is to continue doing what you're doing when you have no reason to do it, except for it's the right thing to do. The way to pass the motivation test is to continue doing what you are doing when you have no reason to do it, except that you know it's the right thing to do. Maybe you're a student in school right now, and you are like, you're just over it. You're like, why? Why is earth science making me learn about rocks? I don't know. Like, will you ever need to know if something is igneous or metamorphic? I don't know. Like, I don't know why you have to learn those things. But perhaps it's a test of the small things. Perhaps it's God saying, what's your motivation here? Are you taking that class so that you can be the best ever? Or are you just simply being willing to work your hardest? Because Colossians says, do everything you do as unto the Lord. Students, you're facing tests. Maybe for some of you, it's staying in your marriage. Like when you want to quit. But it's just continuing to do what you know you're supposed to do, even though that's the only reason to do it right now. It's a motivation test. Maybe for some of you, it's staying planted at the job that you're in. because you know it's where you're supposed to be. Maybe it's staying planted at the church that God's put you in because God placed you there. And we don't attend church like we attend restaurants. What's going to make me feel good? What's the best meal that I want to eat? No, we attend church because it becomes family. And the Bible says we allow our roots to be planted. That means they dig in deep. And we allow, as we plant our roots, for God to challenge us and to grow us and to help us to become the people that we're called to be. And sometimes it gets difficult. And sometimes there's moments when you're in church where you're going to deal with people because people make up the church. And you're going to have opportunities to be offended or hurt or let down. You're going to have opportunities to go, I don't know if I like this anymore. But the motivation test is, why are you there in the first place? Like, can you stay planted when the only reason to stay planted is because it's the right thing to do? Pastor Carrie and I, we're pretty awesome, but we're definitely not perfect. We're going to offend you. We're going to hurt you. We're going to let you down. There's going to be moments because we're dealing with people where you're going to be tempted to be like, I'm going to bail. Can you stay just because God planted you in a family and you're letting your roots run deep? Every single opportunity that God has entrusted you with, you're going to have a moment where you want to quit. All of it, where something else looks easier. But here's what I know. When you pass the motivation test, when you say, God, you entrusted me with this. You planted me here. You've put this thing in my hands. You've called me to this job. I know that you put me into this marriage. When you're willing to actually say, God, I know this is what you want for me, and I don't have anything in and of myself that makes me want to stay, but I'm going to stay because I know that it's what you have for me, you pass the motivation test. And the beautiful thing about passing the motivation test is that in that moment, the joy begins to return to what you're doing. It's like God restores the joy. So can you pass the test? Because God's got promotion for you. God's got good things in store for you. He's got some promises for you that he's preparing you for. Can you pass the test? Through this series, we're going to continue to talk about the different tests. We're going to continue to explore it. And here's what I want you to know. The really beautiful thing about walking with Jesus, about being a Christ follower, is yes, you're going to face problems and pressure. Before Jesus left the earth, he said, in this world, you will have trouble. But take heart, because I've overcome the world. And then he began to teach, and so much of what he unpacked for his disciples before he left was he said, I've got to go so that I can send someone greater. I'm sending the gift of the Holy Spirit, which we actually sang about earlier today in worship. And in that moment, we talked about the Holy Spirit. We're singing this song. I don't know if you understand what's available to you. Because when my daughter goes in to take a test, like for school, to pass a grade, right now she's on her own. She's having to recall knowledge. She's having to do all the things to pass that class on her own. But the tests that you're going to face in life, the pressures that you're going to face, you don't do it alone. The scripture says that you have the Holy Spirit who is with you. It's like right there, feeding you the answers, if you're willing to listen. Like the power of the Holy Spirit is available to you, no matter what you're facing. The scripture describes him as our counselor. Like a counselor helps you know what to do when you don't know what to do. Our friend who's compassionate towards what we're walking through while at the same time giving us wisdom for the next step. You don't have to face tests alone. So as we go through this series and we talk about pressure and we talk about tests that you're facing, I want you to remember that the reason that you're facing tests is because God has some things prepared for you that you're not prepared for yet. And he's kind and he's loving and he's giving you the opportunity to learn and to grow if you're willing. But he says you do not have to do this by yourself. The Holy Spirit is with you. He will guide you in every step that you take if you'll just open your heart to him. I want to encourage you with that because I don't want you to feel like you're alone. It's the beautiful gift of walking with Jesus. You know, I'm just going to ask the worship team to get ready because in a moment, I do want to worship to close our service. But I want to talk to those of you who call the movement, not call the movement church home, but those of you who are here. Maybe you're tuned in online. And you've never made a decision to follow Jesus. Maybe you have and you've just been running from God. We don't ever close a service without giving you an opportunity to make a decision to follow Jesus. And the reason is because there's nothing like a life walking with Jesus. It's this reminder that you are not alone. Like, God loved you so much, he sent his son Jesus to pay the price for your sins and for mine. We don't deserve it. We can't earn it. But he did it anyway. And if you've never made a decision to give your life to him, I really believe that this is the moment. And I just want to pray a prayer with you. And I want to ask everybody in the room to pray with me. If you just bow your heads and close your eyes. If you're here and you've never made a decision to follow Jesus, or maybe you have, but you've been running from God and it's time to come back, I just want to invite you into a moment right now. And would you just pray these words with me in the quietness and stillness of your own heart? Would you just simply say, "Dear God, I know that you're real. I know that you love me. Thank you for choosing me. Thank you for forgiving me. Today I'm making a decision to follow you." And all around the room and online, if that's you, would you just simply say these words, "Jesus, I give you my life." In Jesus' name. Every head bowed and every eye still closed. If you're here and you prayed that prayer with me for the first time or the first time in a long time, I want to celebrate with you because it's why we exist as a church. So I'm just going to ask you to be really brave. And I'm going to invite you, when I count to three, to just, if you prayed that prayer, would you slip your hand up and slip it right back down so I know who I prayed with? Are you ready? 1, 2, 3. Awesome. I see those hands. Anybody else? Awesome. Awesome. Jesus, I thank you for what you're doing in this room. God, I thank you that you meet us here. God, I thank you for every person who made a decision just now to say yes to following you. God, I thank you that this is just the beginning. And God, I just ask, God, that you would just, God, meet them right where they're at. God, for every one of us here today who maybe is feeling pressure, maybe a little overwhelmed by problems, God, I thank you that you are reframing for us how we see that, and that you're promising us that we're not alone, that you go with us. So God, we give you glory and honor and praise. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. And everybody said, amen. Can we give God a great big hand clap? And every person who said yes to following Jesus.
What a message. Hey, if you just prayed that prayer, connect with us by texting Jesus to 949-267-3242. And if you're local to Orange County, be sure to check us out on Sundays. You can get all the information at theocmovement.com.